Hi, Ted. We are celebrating the 50th anniversary of Schoolhouse Rock, so you could not have come on at a better time. How are you, Ted?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Perry, and I'm glad you guys are discussing those things.
Did you do you remember Schoolhouse Rock, or are you too young to remember?
Oh, no, I remember. As a kid, you'd see it on TV all the time, right? And you sang it all the time, and so, yeah. It has good memories.
Right, and it made us better students. So, Ted, I was really astounded with your when you were talking to us about a superintendent where just two in ten students in his district can read at grade level. His name is Elgin's Tony Sanders. Why is this problematic?
Well, it's problematic because he has now become the head of this he's the Illinois state superintendent. Governor Pritzker just named him to be the top superintendent to manage policies throughout the state. And the problem is that, you know, the statistics you've read out, they're horrible in the entire state. They're pathetic. They're dismal. And yet, instead of promoting somebody who's got a different attack, a different approach to education, he picked a guy whose results, you know, Tony Sanders has been in Elgin as a superintendent since 2014. And he's presided over the same exact dismal, pathetic, horrible results where our kids can't read and they can't write. And nobody cares, Perry. You know, we talk about wanting our kids.
But this isn't Mississippi or Alabama, you know, where they have the worst education records in the country. I mean, how is this okay?
Perry, this is whatever Mississippi. And, you know, and I a lot of times people ask me to compare it to how we do elsewhere. I don't care how everybody else does in other states. You know, when we have, you know, just one in, you know, take CPS, right? One in 10 black children who can read at grade level and one in 20 who can do math at grade level. Look, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, this whole thing on equity and closing the gaps and all that. We'll never close the gaps unless people have really good jobs, right? That's how you close gaps,
right?
Money gaps, wealth gaps, jobs. And to have a really good job, especially in the future, you got to be able to read really well and do math really well. And our kids can't do either. And the thing is, graduating them at record levels, nobody cares that they can't read. They're just putting them out, pushing through the system, and it's time we start screaming about it and demanding either fix the schools, make sure that they can read and write before they go to the next grade, or give them a voucher and let them go somewhere else, wherever they can find a better place to read, because this is all failure.
And so, you know, as I was looking through the information, you're saying basically that Sanders has done nothing to end the culture of automatically passing kids along to the next grade. How does this help young people if they, especially those that might be one in the entire class that actually reads at grade level, does math at grade level, and passes? What happens to that child when they get to their first year of college and they're still woefully behind?
Oh, this is the problem. Yeah, we're surprising. This is what I don't like about the whole school system, Perry. They're covering everything up, right? So they move all the kids. So take Elgin, where, you know, but it's the same for CPS, same numbers, right? Only 10% of Hispanic kids, for example, in Elgin can read at grade level. It's the same thing for math and CPS for blacks, one out of every 10. And yet, if you can't read in the third grade, you're in really big trouble when you get to fifth and sixth and seventh because you just can't read your homework assignments. You can't keep up in class. And so what they do at these schools is they just pass them to the next grade every single year. So in Elgin, just 10% of Hispanics can read at grade level. By grade 11, just 10% of the kids in 11th grade can pass the English part of the SAT. So they can't. And then what happens? 85% of them graduate. So parents think that their kids are performing okay because they're moving through the system.
Right.
They're graduating. And
oh,
then
yeah,
they get
having
the real
big
life.
Parties at graduation, renting
limos.
We're
happy. Yeah.
And all that.
Yeah,
kind
you
of
celebrate.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they go to either work or college or community college. It's just, uh-oh, you can't read. Uh-oh, you can't do math. And they either start going into, remedial, or they drop out. You know, and this is, it's, why do we do that? Why do we put up with it? And we shouldn't put up with it. Governor Pritzker just celebrated at the end of last year record graduation rates for blacks and Hispanics. It's a lie. It's a joke. Yes, they're graduating, but they can't read and they can't write.
What is the graduation facade, as you say? What is it?
Well, so, you know, the... 86%, or something like 85% of blacks graduated from CPS last year. And yet, you know, what, 15% of them could read at grade level? That's the facade. They're pretending. They're showing you this beautiful, you know, we're good. We're getting our kids out and ready for the world with a graduation and a diploma. It's a facade. It's not true. They can't read and they can't write.
Wow. 773-591-1690. We're talking to Ted Dabrowski. He's the president of Wire Points. And I just want to say they try to stick to policy, facts, and numbers and not politics. 773-591-1690. Let me ask Eunice if she wants to respond to what she's hearing right
now. Hey, Perry, can I just add one sentence before we continue?
Yes.
We're spending almost $29,000 per kid at CPS now. It's a record. It's huge. $29,000 per kid, and it doesn't work. So I just want to make sure that people don't come out and say, oh, we need more money. We need more money. There's tons of money in there.
Oh, I know. I went to Catholic schools, and I know what they spent on kids in Catholic schools, even back in the 70s, was paltry compared to what they were spending on public school kids. But you know what? At that time, the public schools were actually working. Many people.
Well, they used to teach back then.
They used to teach. And they had teachers that cared about these students and weren't worried about paying back their loans. They weren't worried about, you know, how this is a stepping stone till they find another well-paying position. It really is sad. Let's go to Lydia. Lydia, you're on WVON. What do you think about what you're hearing today?
Good morning, Carrie. How are you?
I'm good.
So I am a parent of a student, a high school student who is in CPS.
Uh-huh.
And I'm so baffled and outraged, and I've never felt so much like a failure as a parent.
Oh.
In the sense that she's in an environment where there are not even teachers present to teach the children, you know, and they've already lost through the pandemic, you know, a remote learning.
Yes.
2 years. And so it's so funny to me how there was no outrage when all of these schools were closed under Rahm's administration.
Mm-hmm.
And now our children are just grappling, basically. And, you know, you can only so much can get into the select enrollment, you know, process, which in my opinion is more political.
It is
than
political.
Great.
Yes.
You know, so parents who can't necessarily go the Catholic school route, now we're all scrambling for our babies, and it's no outrage, you know, and it's no concern and it's no care about our children. And I just don't know what to do at this point.
As a parent.
Correct.
You don't even know how to measure how well your child is doing in school. Is that what you're saying? You don't have.
Correct.
There's no barometer. You don't know what to do. And,
you know, and I
go ahead. I'm saying, you know, people that are in this situation that have money, what do? They send their kids for support work at Huntington. If you're mm-hmm. Jewish, you have a synagogue that's going to provide tutoring for you. And the point is that what I think Ted is making, why are we spending $29,000 a year on a child that's getting a subpar education? Ted, you just heard Lydia say she doesn't even have full-time teachers teaching her at this time. This must be horrifying. Pick up on this, Ted, when we come back. Thank you, Lydia.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
All right, it's 10:24. We're celebrating the 50th anniversary of Schoolhouse Rock. And, Ted, I would wonder how many third and fourth graders could do that today, count by fives to 100. I don't know if they could do it. And it was just easy as pie for us as young people. And I'm grateful. But what did you think about Lydia's call and how she said she feels like a failure as a parent? What does that tell you as somebody that deals with numbers and facts and data?
Yeah, you know, Perry, there's a lot of, you know, when I write this stuff, right, I'm complaining about the system, right, because the system, we're spending tons of money, as I said. The system has its obligation to the residents who pay all these taxes and who have their kids at the school. The system, the school system, the superintendents, the Governor Pritzker, all those people have an obligation to perform well. They should be accountable based on the data. Can the kids read? Can the kids do math? And I get a lot of pushback saying, yeah, it's a lot of the parents' faults, too, because they don't care. They're not engaged. And you know, there's a certain level of truth to that, right? Because parents also need to be very engaged. We know that the best results in schools come when parents are engaged.
Lydia sounds like she's engaged and others. I mean, I you know, we have a very special audience at WVON. These are mostly educated people themselves, homeowners, and that sort of thing. I wonder, you know, and for those who can't afford to get their kids into these elite Catholic schools or the selective schools or the private schools like Faulkner and Parker and Lab and all of that sort of thing, it really does put us at a lot of families at a disadvantage that they're not even aware of. That's the same.
Yeah, see, right. And see, and that was the point I was going to make just to finish that up is that, you know, so parents have to be engaged more. However, the system isn't telling the truth, and that's what I don't like. You know, if there should be alarm bells. If only one out of every 10 kids can read at CPS school, at your kid's school, there should be tons of phone calls coming into your house. How do we get together and make sure that these kids get to the level? Let's do a full court press. We will not let them go to the fourth grade until they can finish reading in the third grade. You know, Florida passed a law like that to make sure kids don't get passed along. Chicago hasn't. I mean, Illinois hasn't done that.
They would never do it, would they? Not with the politics we have today.
Yeah, and Perry's even worse than that now, because even engaged parents don't know what's going on because they changed the curriculum so much. They put all these books and things that a lot of parents don't want. You know, these graphically sexual books. There's a whole thing of the critical race theory or the transgender theory. All that stuff is taking over classrooms, and so a lot of parents don't really know what's going on, and that's the unfair part. There should be great communication between schools on the basic things like reading and writing and math. And we got to get back to basics, because if we don't get back to basics, it ain't going to work.
Let's go to Eunice. Eunice, you're on WVON.
Good morning, Perry. I want to thank you for this show. Civics was a requirement when I went to school and we had mock elections. That's why I like politics. The children now don't know what civics is, and they need to know how their government is run. And when my children were small, I used to take them to the election. You don't want to have... I would go to vote. I would take them with me, and I told them, when you get old enough, you can't stay at my house if you don't vote. And one thing, like Ron said, Perry, I was almost sending you a card because of Dr. Field, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Eunice. I appreciate it. We're going to continue this conversation when we come back. I want to thank you, Ted, for joining us today. I still have some Schoolhouse Rock enthusiasts that want to get on the line. So, and we're going to continue talking about your report. If you want to see this report, Ted, tell our listeners how they can find WirePoints.
Yeah, go to wirepoints.org, and you'll find it on our website, but you also find it on Instagram, on Twitter, at WirePoints. And I think everybody needs to remember, we need to hold our officials accountable, our politicians, our school districts, our schools. Demand, you know, excellence
demand
from them.
Excellence.
Otherwise,
I mean,
yeah.
Demand excellence. That's it.
Yeah, and let's get back to merit, competence, and achievement, and away from all these other crazy things we talk about.
Thank you, Ted. I appreciate your call.
Thank you, Perry.
And I know that our listeners appreciate you, too.